Good morning to you all. Let us stand and we'll sing together from the Sing the Journey, number 32, If You Believe and I Believe. And we will sing it twice. Thank you. 32 in the Sing the Journey. I do wish I could see your faces more, but not yet. That's okay. Welcome here this morning to our service. those who gathered in person and those who are listening virtually. It's wonderful to be able to gather regularly as we are. I'd like to read a reading from a reflection from a book called Dancing in the Desert. It came with one of the books from Common Word in Winnipeg that Shirley organizes every month, and thank you to Shirley. This book is about prayers and reflections for Lent. It's called Follow Me. Follow me. We hear you calling, God, but that is such a journey. Sometimes we have to go over old ground, trudging back to the wrong turns we made and retracing our steps. That can mean we have to admit to the times we should have asked for directions, and to the times we decided on a shortcut that turned out to be a dead end. Going over old ground is not a popular tourist destination. Follow me. We hear you calling, God, but that is such a journey. Sometimes we have to venture into new territory, choosing paths we can't be sure of. We can't see over the tops of the hills or around bends until we've traveled a long way on them. And there are usually bumps and blocks in the road too. Some places are so new that the GPS wouldn't even work. So what do you expect us to do when we come to a crossroad? Following you calls us to journeying, God. So give us the determination we need. Courage when we stumble, light in the darkness, friends to point the way, and our inner ear to follow the voice we hear calling us home. It is Lent, and we hit the highway of self-reflection. On our journey with you, we will meet a lot of interesting people. The most surprising may just be the real us. So keep us going, God. It is the second Sunday of Lent, and this year our theme is Deep Calls Us to Deep, focusing on the different areas within us where God calls us to look deeper. Last week, we heard the call to look deeper into relationships. Today, we are focusing on being called to deep commitments. Follow along as I read the focus statement printed in your bulletin. We are transformed by God as we follow God's voice along the path of life, a voice calling us to deep commitment. Even when our path leads to deep into unfamiliar woods, as we lose ourselves, we are found. We'll continue with the call to worship, and this time you can join me. I will read the dark print with you as well. God, you ask us to set our minds on you, to walk before you and be blameless. You teach us what matters, and you do not hide your face from us. With each step along the path, we are transformed into who you made and called us to be. God, you teach us that when we lose our life, we save it. With each step along the path, we hope against hope in your promises. God, you say you will make us exceedingly fruitful, that you will bless us. With each step along the path, we take up our cross and follow you. We believe your everlasting covenant is to be God to us and that we will live forever. We call out to you as you call us deeper into this covenant. Let us pray. God, who on foot leads through unknown terrain, teach us the trailhead, the sharp turn, the thorn. Teach us the fate of the path in the bramble. Make us to know your true face when we stumble. Remember to find us. Remember our name. Remember your promise to walk with us home. Amen. Take your Sing This Journey again, and we'll be singing hymn number 96. I'm pressing on the upward way. 96 and Sing the Journey, and we'll sing all four verses. Please stand.
Just so that you are ready when we have collected all of our information, at the beginning of our prayer, we're going to use the back of the bulletin where it says prayer of confession and assurance. So that will be the beginning of our collective prayer, just so that you have your bulletin ready, and then I will go into our communal prayer. Let's read that together. Deep calls to deep. We call to you from the depths of our hearts. We confess when we have stayed on the edges, not listening to each other, not taking the path you show. We confess when we have strayed from the way, silencing suffering, forfeiting life. Deep calls to deep. You call to us from the depth of your love, calling us to deep commitment. We come to you, God. Our Father in heaven, you have heard the words that we have read and prayed from our hearts. The prayer of confession, because we know that you are God and we are yours. We belong to you, not as objects that you would move around or manipulate, but your desire for us is to be in relationship with you. We're not worthy of that desire that comes from your heart. We cannot attain to what is required for that kind of relationship. Yet you keep inviting us. And you've invited us here. You invite us to come set aside time simply to be together with you, with our brothers and sisters, together with you. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace that forgives our sin, that washes us white as snow as soon as we confess. And we spend this season of Lent confessing. We bring things to you. We recognize we immediately after bringing it to you go and do the same again. Your mercy, however, is endless. Thank you. And so we return again to you, humbling ourselves, confessing our sin, looking to you for mercy and grace and forgiveness, because you are the God of forgiveness. You are the God of love and compassion. And also because of this, we have the courage at your invitation to come and bring all of these various items to you. All sorts of things, quite an array of things that we want to mention, we want to bring up because they're on our heart. We have brought our offering to you at your invitation. You gave us all that we have. And so we return a meager portion back to you and we ask for your blessing on it. Give us wisdom, we as the church, knowing how to use that amount. And we determine not to bury it. We determine not to hide what you have given, but to share it, to bring it out, and to expect you to multiply it. And so we ask for your blessing on that offering. We pray for the 41 states of the United States. We pray specifically for them because of the weather issues they've been experiencing. We feel that we are the masters of weather. We are the chief meteorologists because we've experienced so many of these things. And we pray with humility for our brothers and sisters in the U.S. that are struggling, not with condescension, but with compassion. We pray for them and their governments and all of the organizations that are really trying to help. We pray because you have compassion on them, and this is a very, very difficult time. It's difficult to see those pictures on TV, to hear the news, and we don't want to bury our heads in the sand. We don't want to just turn off the TV because we have our own problems. Because you carry our burdens, we bring them to you. And so, because we also desire not to be callous and hardened or cynical, we allow ourselves to be moved by the pain and suffering of other people. We allow ourselves to look on that and to feel and to raise them up to you in prayer. Soften our hearts, we ask. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones this week. We feel the weight of sadness as we come together. The sadness because we have lost people that we have known for so long, that we have walked together with, that we have walked right to the point of death with, and now they're gone. We entrust them to you because we cannot care for them anymore. But we pray for their families. Help us to be so kind and tender-hearted in our words and deeds, saying what needs to be said, but also keeping track of what we say, that we would not do more harm in the words that we speak to those who are already in pain and suffering. It's not only the people that we know that we pray for. We pray for people that we have no idea about, and yet we know something of in the world that we live in. And we pray for world leaders. It just seems one day to the next, the world is careening into chaos, and we pray. We pray for our world. We pray for the leaders that you have allowed to have authority, and their determined use of violence for various reasons. We don't believe that violence is the answer. And we pray for those who are suffering under the governments who insist on using that method. We pray for all of those who are in danger in their own countries, whether it is because they are protesting against some injustice or because they are simply going to school. The vulnerable, the helpless. We pray for those in power that you would guide them to use their power in a positive way to help their people, to protect their people. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In some ways, it seems so futile. We seem so small and insignificant. Here we are, living in Swift Current. Say a little prayer. How on earth? How is that going to affect a government leader? The earth is yours and all that are in it. And we lean into that. And in the desperation that others feel and the hopelessness that we feel even in mentioning their situation, we look to you who already sees, who already knows. We pray that you would empower our prayers, that we would never cease. As long as we have breath in our lungs, that we would never cease bringing all of these things to you, that we would not be so overwhelmed by our own lives and desires and wishes, that we would forget the needs of others. And for this reason, we keep returning to the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I will be reading from Mark 8, verses 31 to 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on the divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who are sitting here and looking ahead, maybe not looking at me, but looking at this, don't forget, this is going to be here for all of Lent, and it's representative of the various layers, maybe of life, or of what is within us. It could be layers of I don't know what. And if you come forward, you'll see that they're all over the place. It's not even, it's not perfect, but it's a perfect representation. It's to remind us, invite us to continue that journey of going deeper. This Lent is all about invitation to go deeper. And today it was an invitation to go deeper into the forest. And for weeks we've been hearing Dr. Fauci say, we're not out of the woods yet. We are deep in the woods because of the pandemic, because of the social issues that it raises, because of the complications of bringing the vaccine. All of these things, they're all new. And I think a lot of the people in this congregation would say, we also are not out of the woods yet, because we continue to struggle with this fashion of worship. We try and do what we can, and we're trying to get the sound and the visuals together, and we're trying to put it online, and on and on and on. All sorts of complications. And people work really hard behind the scenes to make sure that these things are in order. We don't just happen accidentally to come here on a Sunday morning. So there's a lot of struggle involved, and we're not out of the woods yet. And as I started thinking about being in the woods, deep in the woods, what came to mind for me was that saying, a babe in the woods. That's a kind of old-fashioned saying. I haven't heard it for a very long time. Someone who doesn't have very much experience at something. They're just a babe in the woods. Well, now that we have those out in the air, out in the open, let's shift away from that and think about being invited, maybe, or finding ourselves in the midst of the woods, in the forest, and not in a good way necessarily. I think I've probably told you the story of my being lost in the woods as an adult, not as a child lost and my parents looking for me. No, but as an adult together with two other adult women who usually can find their way out of almost anything. And we took ourselves to the forest one day. And it was a forest with a big, huge parking lot right beside Highway 48. Out in the open, broad daylight, huge signs. And you know these things that they have in the parking lots that show, here's the trail, you turn this way, you go that way, and all of that. Ah, we didn't need to look at that. We weren't there to look at signs. We were there to look at trees and leaves and sunshine. And it was late, I think it was October, but it was so warm and it was beautiful. And of course, the three of us argued all along the way. Let's go this way. No, let's go this way. Oh, no, this is a better way. And on we wandered until we wanted to go home. And we couldn't find our way home. We couldn't. And we continued to argue, this is the way we came, this looks familiar, this, I remember this branch. Oh, we argued and we walked and walked and argued some more and walked some more, and it was getting cooler, the sun was going down, and we were starting to get very nervous. And we, in the end, we did find a way. We came out. We had no idea where we were, but thankfully we were out of the forest. And there was a road, which was all that we really wanted at this point. We didn't even care where our car was. We found a road and someone driving on the road. And my friend, my very nervous friend, said, no, no, no. But I went right out onto the road and stuck my thumb out. Come on, we're getting a ride. And they were kind enough to stop, and we squeezed into the back of their truck, and they drove and drove and drove and drove and drove. It was quite a drive, and they found us our parking lot. We had no idea how far we had gone from where we wanted to be. So, this deep in the woods does not bring up good memories, not good feelings, not happy times. It's funny. Because it's over. But when in life we are traveling in those woods, it's not fun, it's not pleasant, and we're not thinking what a great story this is going to be someday. It is pain, and it is the unknown, and we ask ourselves all sorts of questions as we're wandering around inside. I'd like you to keep that picture and maybe even the events in your life that are coming to mind. As we look at this Mark passage, I'm going to look at it in three very succinct steps. And it's more in the format that it was written that brings out the message. Because we often get caught up with that famous line that Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, right? Do you know that song? If any man come after me, he must deny himself. We sang this at camp, little kids. Oh, I love that song. I don't think it was even young people's that we were singing it. We were younger than that. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. You know, wonderful. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you sing it and you don't even know what you're saying. You don't even realize what on earth that means. Before I get too deep into those woods, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. And then I'll tell you it. The way that it's written, here I suggested, don't try to rely on your inner compass. So when you're in the woods, in your woods of life, in the woods of maybe even your spiritual journey, you've come to a point where you're like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know exactly what I believe anymore. Wherever you are in those woods, keep that in mind as we look at this passage. And remember, don't rely on your inner compass. Don't rely on your inner compass. It will steer you the wrong way. Unfortunately, throughout our lives, we like to stay in places, A, where we never need a compass. Isn't that right? Isn't it much better to just go on the roads that you know? My car does that all the time. It just goes, it takes me, and I'm like, hey, I wasn't going here. I wanted to go somewhere else. But it just goes where I always go. It's like riding a horse. So in our lives, we tend in those directions where we never need a compass. Second thing, we often will stay in the safe zones, in the buffer zones, stay where it is safe. Maybe you're a little bit into the forest, but at least you still have one leg out. You can always get out. And then there is C. Third option, get lost. We used to say that as kids. Oh, get lost. And getting lost is always a bad thing. Isn't that right? Getting lost is never a good thing. But that's exactly what Jesus invites us to do. Get lost. So first of all, let's just look at the form of how this passage is written. I'd really invite you to open your Bibles. I know you think, Mark 8, I know this. And Elaine just read it. I was listening. I haven't fallen asleep yet. But look at verse 31 to 38. And you will see on the outsides, the very beginning, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man. Stop. That's the first bracket on the outside. The Son of Man. Then look at verse 38. Near the end. Of them, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Those are the two big brackets on the outside, the beginning and the end. There we have the Son of Man. What does that mean? The Son of Man is a name that Jesus uses for himself, and it symbolizes Jesus' authority. And I've preached how many sermons on Jesus' authority, even in the last month? You're probably sick and tired of hearing about it. So I only have to remind you. Jesus' authority, the Son of Man. And the beginning there, it's Jesus' authority on earth. Jesus, when he was walking around and he was teaching them, Jesus, the Son of Man, has authority on earth. Then you look at the very last verse and you realize Jesus, Son of Man, same person, has authority in heaven because he's going to come with all of his holy angels in the glory of the Father. So Jesus has authority on earth and in heaven. Does everybody feel comfortable here? Are you comfortable with this, what I've been saying so far? Sure. Doesn't it feel nice? I should just stop here, right? Because this would be a perfect sermon to preach. Jesus has authority on earth and in heaven. This is where we never need a compass. You never need a compass. You can just rely on these. They are strong and sturdy. Don't make me think about anything else. Don't drag me anywhere else. Jesus has authority on earth. I recognize that. I remember it. I have heard all of these stories about Jesus when I was a kid. And yeah, that's good. I'm good to go. I know enough. And not only that, but I know enough of those stories that Jesus has authority in heaven. So Jesus is going to take me to heaven. From here to there and nothing in between. That's where you don't need a compass. You're not going to get lost. You're not going to even turn around because you've just said, okay, I accept Jesus into my heart, or whatever kind of words that you have used or heard used, and say yes to Jesus. Okay, let's just say it that way. I say yes to Jesus, and then I don't need to worry about what's going to happen to me after I have died. And for those who have lost loved ones, that is a real assurance. We haven't got them here anymore. We've let go of them. And we trust they have been taken into the loving care of the Heavenly Father who has authority. The glory of the Father and the holy angels. We'll never get lost within those two brackets. Problem is, I'm not going to let you sit there. So if you want to stay comfortable, go to sleep now. That was my hypnotist action. It worked for a couple of you. The second thing is, where we never need a compass, some of you say, no, I need a little bit more than that. We move into staying in the safe zones. And so we stay in the safe zones by just knowing what we know. Some of those stories that we know about Jesus, or we know about the Old Testament Bible stories. Isn't that a nice story? And we keep it in history. Either in history or future something or other. Or we focus on, this church in Ephesus, and they had their problems, and then Paul wrote them a letter. Always at arm's distance. But this is safe for us as long as we just keep talking about the things that we know. And those things that we know are exemplified as these brackets come together. So we come down from verse 31 again, the Son of Man. Here is the first thing that we know: must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Oh yeah, I know and I believe and I accept Jesus' life and ministry, suffering, death, and resurrection. If you look in the back of your hymnal, you'll find it right there. The we believes. We believe, you know, and if we were a really good church, we'd be able to rattle that off by memory. Oh, yeah, we believe Jesus lived and he did many miraculous things, and then he suffered and he died and he rose again. And we're in the middle of Lent, and yes, this is the direction that we're going. See how easy and how comfortable it is? Stay in these safe zones. Just stay here and know about this, and we're out of the woods already in this. Stay where it's safe, and you'll never need a compass. Okay, then let's look at the end of it, because these are supposed to be equal brackets. We've got Son of Man on both sides, and then if you come in, the first side, the Son of Man on earth says he will suffer, he will be killed, and he will undergo resurrection. If you look on the other side in verse 36 and 37, you'll see that those who are ashamed of me, there's more suffering, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed. Go back to verse 36, that was 38. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? What can they give in return for their life? This, what I call soul exchange, not stock exchange. Here is a soul exchange. What are you going to trade for the value of your life? Now you might be thinking, well, this isn't quite so safe anymore. But Jesus says it very simply. As long as we continue to insist on just being in the safe zone, we are sliding away from where Jesus wants to steer us with his compass. When we want to stay in the safe zones, he says you have gone into soul exchange. I am ready to exchange my very soul because I want to stay safe. This is open teaching. This isn't hidden. And yet this is coming to the heart of what Jesus is saying right in this passage. It's coming in from both sides. It's like the forest that is closing in on us. And Jesus is inviting us to come into the depths of the forest. Don't stay on the outside. Say to yourselves, this is not enough to know Jesus here on earth and yay, Jesus in heaven. Take a step in. Isn't there a game we used to play that way? You're standing in a circle and you do something and you achieve whatever. Okay, everybody, take one step in. And it gets more dangerous as you take a step in. Isn't that right? I can't remember the game. But I'm feeling myself getting drawn in. And then the second stage, you can still keep things at arm's length and tell yourself the stories that you like to hear. Tell yourselves the stories that make you comfortable. Stay in the safe zones. And that's where Peter wanted Jesus to stay, because Peter had an idea of who Jesus was. And Peter had an idea in his head of what he thought Jesus was going to be doing. So when Jesus said suffering and dying, Peter said, what? What did Peter do? What did Peter do? Verse 32, he said all this quite openly. That's Jesus. Look at verse 26 for a second to see how significant this is. Verse 26, then he sent them away to his home saying, do not, no, that's not the right verse at all. Just before verse 31. Who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah, Peter answered. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about them. Don't say a word. He sternly ordered them, don't say a word. And yet right here, he himself is opening his mouth and saying the very things he told them not to say. Anyone here confused? Anyone here confused? I hope you are, because that doesn't make sense. And if you are confused, it means you have allowed yourself to follow Jesus a little bit into the forest. You have allowed yourself to think those uncomfortable thoughts, to say, hey, that doesn't make sense. I'm confused. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus trying to teach us here? You have allowed yourself to follow Jesus a step into the forest. Our problem is that we don't recognize, just like Peter didn't recognize, that we're relying so strongly on the stories we tell ourselves and the comfort that they give to us, that we're no longer following Jesus. When Jesus looked at Peter, he looked at all of the disciples, and again, openly, he said, get behind me, Satan. Satan, you are stopping the agenda that I have. I want to teach these people something. I want to bring them somewhere, and you're blocking it. Really hard words for Peter. Poor Peter. He's like, I was trying to not embarrass you. I took you aside. When I was reading this and just doing my initial prep, I wrote in my notes, oh, the private rebuke. The private rebuke. Oh, absolutely anyone who has ever said anything in public, you know all about the private rebuke. You say something, and then later someone takes you aside and says, oh, sorry to say this, oh, and it's usually a shouldn't have said that. And that's what Peter is saying to Jesus here. I don't want to embarrass you. This is the Messiah. You just said he's the Messiah. And now you are going to tell him what to say? Right in the heart of all of this, right in the center of it, it's not the deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In the center of this, the very nugget, is the difference between God's interests and man's interests. And that's what Jesus says to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You have man's interests, human interests at heart. It's a tough one to get a hook on human interests. And I spent the whole week making a little list, and the list just grew and grew and grew as I forced myself to try to understand what are human interests in reality, so that they would make me feel uncomfortable. Because as long as our journey with Jesus is comfortable, we are leading the way. We are the ones leading the way. Because Jesus' way is so different than the human way, it will make us uncomfortable. And our interest, my own interest, is for me to be comfortable. That is number one interest. However I make that happen, that is the most important. Like, I wanted to wear clothes this morning that would make me feel comfortable. Not only, well, that I should have worn my pajamas, really, but I also wanted to be comfortable in front of all of you, and I wanted you to think well of me. So our view before other people is also high on our human interest list. We want to feel secure and safe. That's why we hoard our money. It's my security. Who's going to take care of me after I get this illness? We want to achieve things. I need to be something in this life. I can't just while away my time here. I'm no good anymore. I need achievement. I need to avoid suffering. That's quite important on my must-have list. I must avoid suffering. And if suffering comes to me, it must be minimal. And maybe if I am suffering, I have done something wrong. Those are human interest kind of statements. And they just go on and on and on. Challenge yourself this week to think about what are those things that are so important to me that I am hanging on to them rather than getting lost with Jesus. What are those things where I have in my mind human interest, my well-being, I'm living my best life? Where are those things? And they are interfering with what Jesus would like to lead you into. Jesus wants a deep relationship with you. And he says, your self-interests are blocking that relationship. The relationship then described by Jesus is, you want to follow me? Then deny yourself. Those human interests, those self-interests, deny it. Take up your cross, take up your challenge, take up your work, take up whatever that is. Come on, let's go. And follow. Follow, follow. See that? More brackets. We're not going it our own. You don't have to think, well, I'm out here all by myself. You may feel lost in the forest. Jesus said, follow me. If you want to follow, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. I know it sounds weird when I'm saying it, but I really want to emphasize it. Because following, we're going with Jesus. He's gone there already before, and he wants to take us deeper, to have a relationship with Jesus. And when we don't, we not only deny ourselves access to that abundant life here on earth, we even deny others the opportunity because they're watching us. They're watching our Christian lives. And when we stay on the outside, we stay on the yay, Jesus, and Jesus is coming again edge, they see that's emptiness. That doesn't talk to my issues, my mental health issues, my physical health issues, my money issues, my employment, my family, my everything issues. Your faith is empty. And then we wonder why the people around us are not attracted to this fullness of life that Jesus brings. Because we don't want to go through that suffering. We don't want to struggle. We don't want to go into the forest even with Jesus. We need to go. I encourage you all, don't assess your life if it's suffering, if you feel rejection, if you feel insecure, that you have done something wrong. Follow, follow. Follow, follow. Leave the elementary and press on to maturity. We have been called for this purpose.
Yes, let us commit ourselves this week as we go to look around and see where we can continue to follow Jesus, even if it's not so easy. Take your Sing the Storybook, hymn number 40. We will follow Jesus. We'll sing the English verses twice. Let's stand. Number 40.
Bow for the benediction. Go deep into the woods of your week, knowing that you are called to the kind of commitment that will not leave you comfortable. Our God is not to be fully known or neatly packaged. Be ever ready for the transformation that accompanies deep commitment. Go expecting surprise. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.